Good to be with you this evening. And don't you just love St. Albert the Great? It's a wonderful place, isn't it? It is a place where you can come and be part of a community where people genuinely care about you. Those are hard to find today. This evening, we celebrate the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, or what is called in English, the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. And in light of this most festive, celebrative occasion, I'd like for us to take a few minutes to take the fantastic journey through the liturgy of the Eucharist in order that we can better understand how that ordinary bread and wine become the Corpus Christi, that which leads us to eternal life. What did Jesus say in this evening's gospel reading? He said, "I am the bread from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." And let me preface for what I'm going to say by this. This is not magic. A lot of people today, actually more than 50% of all Catholics, do not believe that this is the real presence of Jesus. That's a sad testimony for our church because it's the core of our church. But we need to realize this is not magic. There is that intersection between heaven and earth that's intimately tied and connected, and things that we can't explain, that's okay. It's okay. The Lord told us so. Now, the easiest way that I know to go about this is by identifying the three distinct movements of preparation, consecration, and communion as we go through the liturgy of the Eucharist, and then as we walk through each one of these steps to explore a common thing. There's a common thing that runs through all three of them, and it is this: God gives, we give thanks, and we offer something to God in return. Thanksgiving is always a sign of great love and devotion to God. It's just a part of who God is, and Christ exemplified that and lived that out and calls us to do likewise. So we would think Eucharist, meaning thanksgiving, would definitely mean that. The first movement is preparation, meaning to prepare or to make ready the table for the great feast that is about to take place. And it is God who gives us bread and wine. God gives us the main ingredients of wheat and grapes. And something else that's important. It takes work, doesn't it? Whenever I make a loaf of bread, it takes a lot of work to knead that bread to that dough so that the yeast can start to form in it. But it takes the work of human hands in order that we can present him these wonderful gifts, which he, in turn, transforms them even into something even greater. Now, this is a fascinating thought to me. Even our ability to take wheat and grapes and make bread and wine are a gift from God to us. Your ability to work, your ability to do things is a gift from God. And these gifts are no different. What does it say? Made from human hands. And then as God gives us, we give thanks. What do we hear in the reading? "Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For it is only through your goodness, the goodness of God, that we have received these gifts that we're about to offer you." Do you feel that sense of attitude of gratitude there? Well, of course you do, and it flows all throughout the liturgy of the Eucharist. And then God offers to us in return the gifts of wine and bread. Our prayer is this: we offer to you these gifts, O Lord. And as the paten and chalice, notice it tonight, everything has meaning in the Mass. When they're picked up and they're raised a little bit, we are acknowledging that everything comes from God. It all comes from him. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you. It's sort of a little sidetrack, but as I thought about this giving back to God, I want to thank you for how you have done that. These are difficult and trying times, but you've been very faithful in the giving, when it's possible, your stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. And I really want to show my appreciation for that, because God is all about giving, and then we give in return. The second movement is called consecration. Now, there's signals that start to take place that something very special is going to happen in just a moment. Do you know what that special thing is? Well, it is that God is about to turn ordinary wine and bread into the body and blood of Jesus. But once again, let me say, this is not magic. This isn't just something that we dreamed up. It's as real gets. It was handed down by the Lord himself some 2,000 years ago. Observe how the surroundings begin to change. The priests will bow and ask that God be pleased and find acceptable the gifts that we have given him. As a symbol of humility and reverence, the priest will genuflect. And then the priest begins to prepare not only the prayers for the people, but also his heart as well, to purify and cleanse his heart. So as the water is poured over his hands for cleansing, he says this silently, "Wash me, O Lord, from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Even the paten and chalice, I think this is interesting. Notice and observe tonight, because something greater is taken. The paten and chalice are raised to a higher level because we're offering something great to God that God's going to transform. And then we kneel together as a sign of reverence and as a sign of our oneness, of our solidarity as the people of God, as being in agreement as a community of faith in what it is that we're about to do. What did Paul say in the reading this evening? He said, "We, though many, are one body." There's that oneness, there's that communion, community, because we all partake of the one loaf. That's what makes us one. We're very diverse, but it's the partaking of Christ that makes us one. Once again, let's follow this beautiful rhythm within the movement, which is that God gives, we give thanks, and then we offer something to God in return. What does God give us? He gives us Jesus. He gives us Jesus. And what moment does that take place? Well, it takes place at the words of Jesus, of course. That's when it does. And so when the priest will bow his head, now when I do that in a moment, it's not because I'm about to fall asleep. But when I bow my head, it is a gesture of prayer. I'm praying. This is a great gesture of prayer. And when we say the words of Jesus, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. Take this, all of you, and drink it." And when we say that, it happens. The words that were immortalized by Jesus himself are good enough for the Holy Spirit to come down and to turn mere bread and wine into the food that leads us, as we heard today, leads us to eternal life. And it is only at Jesus' word can this be done. Why? Because he's the one who performed the sacrifice. He is the one who reconciled us to God through the giving of his life. God gives us Jesus, and then we give thanks. This is a really high time of thanksgiving. What are the words of thanksgiving that we utter? Well, here's some of them. "It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God." There's that attitude of gratitude. Gratitude, giving thanks for what God has given you, it's vitally essential if you want to live in close communion with God. And then we end it, we sort of cap it with these words, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest." And then we offer to God in return Jesus' body and blood. What does the priest say? He says, "We offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation." And then it goes on to say, "Lord, it's just good enough. It's just amazing that you would just let us be here while this is taking place. It is so magnificent. It is so wonderful of a kind of thing, because we realize, Lord, that we do not deserve what it is that you're about to give us for us to receive. And so we humbly offer them back to God. Then the third and final movement is communion. We get the word community out of that. We get the word union, unity. but it's about oneness. It's about being together and being in a sense of community with each other. And at communion, we experience why Christ's real presence is called the great source and the summit of the church. Now, once again, let me say this for the final time. This is not magic. It is not magic. It's as real gets. I was reminded this week, I was talking to a dear lady yesterday who lost her mother a day before yesterday, and she was talking. Her mother was a very devout woman, very holy woman, and she was talking that before she took that last gasp of breath, that she reached out and she called her father by name. She saw her father. See, he'd passed away for 40 years. But do you see that connection? There's a connection there. It's not all about what's just happening right now. We are intimately connected. And so things that are not rational, I would say that, they are not magic, but they are as real gets. And so what does God give us? He gives us Jesus's body and blood. He gives it back to us, see? He says, no, this is for you. There's no withholding of my love for you. I literally give you the gift of my son. And it is at this point that we should be more engaged and awakened than any other point in the Mass. It's a special time. Let me ask you this. For those of you that have been to Mass a few times in the last weeks, do you remember what it was like a few weeks ago when you received communion for the first time? Was it special? Did it mean more to you? Well, I would hope so. I would think that it would be a very special thing to receive the body and blood the body of Christ after such a long dry spell. Well, let me ask you this question. Is it just possible that receiving Jesus can be that special each and every time that we celebrate the Mass? Is it possible? Absolutely. But what we have to do is engage ourselves. We have to be mindful. We have to focus, listen, hear, participate in what God is doing, and it will be that great. And then we give thanks. Listen to these words as this attitude of gratitude. It flows like honey out of the comb. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. And then, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. You feel that sense of humility and gratitude and thanksgiving in life? And then what do we do? We offer to God something in return. You know what it is we offer? Our lives. We give him our lives. See, Mass is not over once you receive communion. There's a whole nother part of it which remains. And after receiving Christ's body and blood, and once our spirits are nourished and renewed and replenished, what do? We receive a prayer, we receive a blessing, and then we are commissioned to go out, to go forth from this place and share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And what do in return when God issues this call to commitment of our lives? Well, we confirm that commitment, don't we, by saying before God, listen to these words, you'll say them tonight, by saying them before God and as a witness, this community is your witness that you're going to do this. We say this, amen, so be it. Thanks be to God. That's pretty moving, isn't it? That's very powerful. That's the beauty of our faith. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this evening. First of all, be mindful always of what is taking place during the Holy Mass. And the second thing is this. Show your attitude of gratitude to God by offering him your life. God bless you. I love you.